From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Today, our show is featuring the WGCU Newsroom's contribution to the statewide Decision Florida Collaborative Reporting Project, looking at vital issues for our state going before lawmakers in Tallahassee. Today, we're featuring an in-depth report looking at a proposed statewide ban to hydraulic fracturing, commonly known as fracking. It's one of several oil and gas well treatments that would be banned in Florida if the bill passes muster with state lawmakers. Today at noon, WGCU's John Davis hosted a special edition of Decision Florida on WGCU Public Media's Facebook page using the Facebook Live format. He spoke with representatives from the Conservancy of Southwest Florida and others looking at the different aspects of the proposed fracking ban. This hour on Gulf Coast Live, we'll hear the story on the proposed ban, we'll listen to the encore presentation of the Facebook Live discussion, and we'll take your questions about the bill and share your thoughts on fracking in Southwest Florida. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Today on our show, we're highlighting WGCU's contribution to Decision Florida, the statewide public radio reporting project focusing on key issues going before our elected representatives in Tallahassee during this week's legislative session. All this week, stories have been airing on Facebook Live about issues that matter most to Floridians, from gun control bills to health care to education. Today features WGCU reporter John Davis's story on a proposed fracking ban going before lawmakers. Supporters say the risks of surface water and groundwater contamination make the technology too risky for Florida's delicate geology, while opponents of the ban point to the lack of Florida-specific studies on the impacts of fracking and argue about what a ban could mean for the state's energy costs and economy. WGCU's John Davis reports.
Republican Senator Dana Young of Tampa and fellow GOP Representative Mike Miller of Orlando are sponsoring bills that would outright ban hydraulic fracturing, acid fracking, and matrix acidizing. Hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, refers to a method of breaking up underground rock formations by blasting them with high-pressure water, acid, and other chemicals to extract oil and gas. More than 80 Florida cities and counties have already adopted ordinances or resolutions in support of a ban. House Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez of Fort Myers opposes the ban. He considers a Florida-specific study on the potential impacts of fracking to be a crucial element.
If you have a study and the study shows that there is a threat to a public resource such as water, then government is empowered to take away those property rights because they're doing it for the greater good. In the absence of science and the absence of a study, the government cannot defend itself against a Burt Harris claim from those who have lost those property rights.
I know that Representative Rodriguez knows this issue well, but he is not a lawyer. I am.
Fracking ban bill sponsor Senator Dana Young argues her bill would not deny mineral rights to private property owners through traditional oil and gas mining techniques. She says the risks to groundwater and surface water contamination posed by fracking gives the state the regulatory authority to enact her bill. And she says a Florida-specific study is not necessary.
You only need to look at the impacts in other states. For example, prior to 2009, Oklahoma experienced about two earthquakes a year. Since 2009, when fracking became more prevalent within their state, they have had more than 2,000 earthquakes of magnitude 3 or greater. Last year alone, there were over 900 earthquakes.
Environmental advocacy groups support the ban bill, but opponents, such as Florida Petroleum Council Executive Director David Micah, say the green elements of the fracking industry are largely overlooked.
I actually believe that the transformation of American energy, almost completely associated with hydraulic fracturing, has been an environmental bonanza for our country, because our production in natural gas has allowed us to shift away from coal. And as we've done that, we are now reducing carbon emissions in the United States from the energy sector to the lowest level in 25 years.
Along with the Florida Petroleum Council, the fracking ban bill is also opposed by groups like the Florida Chamber and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, largely over economic concerns. Micah says banning fracking nationwide would lead to increased gas prices and higher utility bills for Floridians.
We know that increased supply has a downward pressure on prices across the globe, and we think this is a negative effort in that kind of direction.
Micah says the economic downside of banning fracking would also impact Florida's tourism, pointing to slow tourism growth a few years ago when gas prices approached $4 a gallon, and correlating that to record high levels of tourism in the state as gas prices trended downward again. But environmental policy specialist with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida, Amber Crooks, says the quantity and quality of Florida's oil isn't that significant.
And as an example, we produce 0.25% of the oil production in the United States. And that oil, because of its poor quality, it isn't going to gasoline. It's going to things like asphalt. It's being sent overseas. So our question is it worth the risk to our water quality, to our drinking water supply, and for Everglades restoration? In our tourism economy and our real estate economy to try and get that 0.1% of oil out of the ground using these risky techniques.
Micah cites a 2016 EPA study that found no large-scale systematic impacts on drinking water resources in the U.S. from fracking, even as more than 1 million wells have been fracked across the country so far. Crooks with the Conservancy points to the only documented instance of fracking in Florida in late 2013 when the Texas-based Dan A. Hughes Oil Company violated its drilling permit and performed hydraulic fracturing and matrix acidizing on the Collier Hogan well near Immokalee. She says that incident revealed several possible pathways to contamination.
Everything from a canal potentially being contaminated with oily waste from a dumpster on site to the old abandoned wells that were within a couple hundred feet of Collier Hogan well that were not properly plugged and abandoned to today's standards, to the illegal disposal of over 80 barrels of oily wastewater back into the well itself, which these are all pathways of contamination that we saw just in that one well.
Crooks also says toxic wastewater byproduct from the Collier Hogan well fracking incident was trucked away for disposal to a Miami facility, but it wasn't treated properly and ended up in the ocean. The ban is moving forward in both chambers. A Senate committee recently voted unanimously in favor of the outright fracking ban, reversing years of opposition. John Davis, WGCU News.
That story was just part of a week-long collaboration among public radio stations across Florida. Each story was supplemented by a Facebook Live discussion each day this week at noon. Today, reporter John Davis held his own Facebook Live video chat featuring in-depth discussions of the topic. Amber Crooks, the senior environmental policy specialist with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida, joined John for that conversation. Here now is an encore presentation.
Welcome, Amber.
Yeah, good afternoon.
And we had planned to have Florida Petroleum Council Executive Director David Micah join us as well, but we received word just within the past few minutes that he's been called away emergently. But I'll certainly be doing my best to address the concerns of opponents of the proposed fracking ban in our discussion today.
Okay.
But Amber, just to start off, can you give us just kind of a brief overview of what we're talking about when we say fracking and specifically what types of advanced well stimulation
sure.
treatments this ban would basically ban?
Yes.
And why the Conservancy supports this so strongly.
Okay. Yeah, so the proposed legislation deals with well stimulation treatments, which I know is a little bit technical for most people. So what that really means are the fracturing technologies that are used, hydraulic and acid fracturing. Those are high-pressure applications. It also includes, thankfully, matrix acidizing, which is a low-pressure application utilizing some of the same chemicals. The end result of both of those, of all three of these techniques, will be to change the permeability of the rock far below ground in order to allow more oil production.
So we've seen, fracking ban proposals come up in the past. None have really gained as much traction as the one we're seeing in this current legislative session. Did those include all these different types of well stimulation techniques as well?
That's a good question. They had not. Past year's legislation had failed to include these low-pressure techniques like matrix acidizing, which the Conservancy has a lot of concerns about. Even just last year, there was a report that came out from from UCLA in California, a state that utilizes matrix acidizing more than perhaps other parts like the Northeast. And it found that there are over 200 specific chemicals that are utilized in matrix acidizing, with about 20 of them being F-graded hazardous to human health chemicals. So we're finding more information about matrix acidizing as well. So it's great that the legislation includes not just the high-pressure applications, but the low-pressure matrix acidizing as well.
And let's take a look also back at just some of these other legislative efforts that we've seen in the past. House Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez, since 2013, has been trying to pass bills related to fracking. I know setting up a potentially a regulatory framework. What were some of the concerns that groups like the Conservancy had mm-hmm. with some of those past proposals?
Yeah, so there's been a couple of different attempts over the past legislative sessions. The past three legislative sessions have been roller coaster rides. The most recent year's bill, again, did not include all forms of risky well stimulation treatments, so it was missing matrix acidizing. It also would have preempted local governments from taking up the issue to ban fracking within their city limits. So those were really major fatal flaws for that bill last year, and one of the main reasons the Conservancy opposed them ultimately.
And I think we know that the Estero Village Council here in Lee County, I know Broward County is among them, but there's quite a few cities and counties, mm-hmm. municipalities throughout Florida that have taken steps towards a ban already.
Yes, that's right. Even here locally, we have three municipalities that have passed ordinances that ban fracking within their limits. We also have Fort Myers Beach has a resolution. And that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg as far as statewide. We have about 90 municipalities that have either an ordinance in place or a resolution that supports the idea of banning fracking. And that represents about more than 50% of Florida's population.
Okay, so it looks like there's already been some support for this mm-hmm. type of a measure, mm-hmm. at least on various local levels.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about some of the perceived weaknesses of this ban bill. State Representative, House Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez mm-hmm. has spoken with me about several of those. And I think one of the primary ones that he's brought up has to do with the lack of a Florida-specific study on the potential impacts of fracking in mm-hmm. the state. Folks who are opposed to this ban have said that that's something that we need, and that in the face of potential legal challenges from the Burt Harris Property Protection Rights Act, here in Florida, we say that landowners have certain rights to their property, mm-hmm. and that the government can't take away those rights, particularly mineral rights. And so Rodriguez has said that without some sort mm-hmm. of Florida-specific study that would validate the risky aspects of fracking in Florida, that the state wouldn't be able to really support the ban in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually have had our legal consultant take a look at that issue of takings in Burt Harris. And because the mineral rights owners would still be able to access the minerals through conventional means, through conventional oil drilling, it's found that they would not likely have a successful Burt Harris claim. So, again, they can still access those resources through regular conventional means. And as far as the science, we have looked at other places that have been dealing with fracking, and what we find from California to Pennsylvania to out west to New Mexico, that these techniques are very risky for water supply use, fresh water, for contamination of surface and groundwaters, and for disposal of these waste products. So when we look at these other examples, it's presenting to us as something that's not worth the risk here in Florida, particularly also with our experience with Collier Hogan Well in Collier County, having issues basically from start to finish, from the unauthorized fracking that took place there to just recently finding out about 80 barrels of waste that was disposed of illegally back into the well. And then also it was not actually plugged and abandoned up to code. So, from those different solid studies that have been done in other parts of the United States to the experiences right here in our backyard, it's something that is not worth the risk.
I'm going to come back to the Collier Hogan well here in a minute, because that's a big can of worms we want to jump into here. But you know, when I'd spoken with David Micah in the past from the Florida Petroleum Council, one of the things he had cited was this 5-year, $31 million study conducted by the Environmental Protection Agency that came out in 2016. And it really kind of found no large-scale systemic impacts to drinking water resources in the U.S. from fracking, even as more than 1 million wells have been fracked across the country so far.
Well, I think it's interesting that Mr. Micah, you know, used this study in some of the things I've heard him say, because the study, as you know, was quite controversial in the fact that the original language of the study had pointed to concerns for contamination in specific instances. And then as it was being finalized, language was changed to add in sort of this disclaimer that there was no widespread systematic evidence. Subsequently to that, that language has been removed in the final version. So if anything, the EPA study, while it does note that there are data gaps and more information is needed, points to specific instances where contamination has occurred as a direct result of fracking in other places in the United States.
Have we seen the concerns regarding fracking in other states? Do they vary from region to region? For instance, in Oklahoma, say, would they have different problems than they've had in California or Pennsylvania?
Well, there are some differences, you know, with geology and regulation in each of these states. One thing that is universal, though, is that we have seen from study to study some major themes. One, contamination from either faulty construction of the well. There has been some instances where contamination has occurred from the actual fracturing of the rock itself. And then also widespread, and this is perhaps one of the biggest, spills, surface spills. A study that just came out a couple of weeks ago found that there were, for every 1,000 fracked wells, there were 55 surface spills. And they only looked at four states. So, you know, there are some themes that we see amongst all of the places that have engaged in fracturing.
Are there specific concerns for what could happen in Florida given our unique geology? Can you just sort of describe, maybe for folks who aren't too familiar with how, you know, what's going on below the surface of our feet is maybe different from if you've lived elsewhere in the country?
Yeah. One thing that I think is very compelling about Florida is that 93% of Floridians rely on our groundwater as our main drinking water resource. So we can't take any chances with that. It may be different in other parts of the United States, where more surface waters are used, but here we're relying on our groundwaters and we can't take any chances with those. We're reliant on that rain-driven aquifer recharge, and it's noted that our geology is very porous, limestone. So, you know, in the case of Collier Hogan, we just found out from our hydrogeologists that the fractures that might have resulted from that hydrofracturing could have been 270 feet from the wellbore. So, you know, there's a lot of room for concern there of how, you know, these techniques in Florida would play out.
Let's back up a little bit, and just maybe for folks who wouldn't be too familiar, take us back to December of 2013. We're at the Collier Hogan well. The Danny Hughes Company is permitted to be there and be stimulating that well. What do we know about what happened there?
Well, it all started when we received notice that they had gone forward with unauthorized fracturing back in 2013. Since that time, the Conservancy has been tracking, as well as with our partners, for the past 3 years, the possible contamination from that well. And again, not just from the unauthorized fracturing, but from the disposal of the waste products as well. As was noted in the news story, there was over 200,000 gallons of waste product that was transported over to the East Coast that wasn't handled properly. And then just revealing just last fall that 80 barrels of oily waste was disposed of illegally back in the well. And we're still trying to get more information about that from DEP. So we've been in close communication with them. on the Collier Hogan well, particularly given this new information.
Have we seen any actual signs of contamination, or is this just something that we're continuing to monitor?
We're continuing to monitor. One thing I will say is that the folks who are employed by DEP to take a closer look, we've been really trying to encourage them to broaden some of the monitoring and testing that they're doing. In some cases, they weren't testing, we feel, for the right type of chemicals. They weren't maybe testing at the right depths. And so we're just going to continue to work with DEP to try and see if they can, look to doing some of these things to make sure they capture any possible course of contamination.
All right. And can you just maybe go over again what some of those different avenues to potential contamination you've come across just through your experiences sort of watching DEP and making sure that the water quality monitoring that they're doing is actually going to find something if there is a problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, at the Collier Hogan well, just even at the beginning stages, there were instances where they were not maintaining the waste properly in a dumpster on site that was leaking oily waste into the canal. And also there's some abandoned wells that are close by within 200 feet of the actual Collier Hogan well that was fractured. Those, we found out, are not plugged to today's standards. So those are also potential pathways for contamination.
All right. And, I wanted to talk about, maybe some other potential weaknesses in this ban that have been identified. And one of those comes from opposition. This ban faces opposition from groups like the Florida Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So there are folks who have economic concerns out there. I think we've seen editorials in the Orlando Sentinel and other papers related to just issues regarding oil and gas production and what it's meant what fracking has meant and how it's changed things like what we're paying in our utility bills or what we're paying for a gallon of gasoline when we go to the gas pumps. What do you say to Floridians who are concerned that a ban on fracking could bring us back to the days of nearly $4 a gallon gasoline or that the utility bills are going to skyrocket? Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple thoughts that come to my mind. Here down in Southwest Florida, we do have a heavy sour quality to our oil, which is not the type of oil that ends up in your gas tank. Even beyond that, I think what is perhaps the most important sector of Florida's economy is its tourism and its real estate economies. And I will tell you, when drilling was in the news, we received calls from folks who were concerned. They were flying here to look for a home to purchase. And they were, they didn't realize perhaps the mineral rights were maybe owned by others and that drilling could take place. So that really dissuaded, quite a few people who phoned the Conservancy directly. Is this idea of contamination. And we only have to look to the BP oil spill, not so much in what actually happened there, but even here in Southwest Florida of the perceived environmental effects. We never had any oil, as far as I know, on our beaches, but we still had an effect of people who were dissuaded to come as tourists because they were worried about that. So I think there are other economic factors that perhaps play out more importantly and are supporting a ban on fracking than some of that Mr. Mike brought up.
And when it comes to fracking in Florida, from what I understand, there really aren't that many places where companies would be looking to do it. We have the Sunnyland trend in Southwest Florida. There's other areas up in northern Florida around the Panhandle, I believe. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I guess how would you characterize the significance of the oil stores under the ground in Florida?
Yeah, sure. We've found that our Florida reserves, the oil that's in the ground, is 0.1% of the oil reserves in the United States. So we don't have a lot at stake here as far as overall contribution. And we also have a great opportunity here in the Sunshine State to look at other energy. It was just announced last year that jobs in the solar sector were outpacing the jobs in the oil and gas sector and outpacing the jobs in the coal sector by far. So I think we have an opportunity to look at other things here in Florida.
That kind of leads into a question I was going to ask just regarding the green benefits to fracking that, David Micah and I think folks who also maybe represent oil industry interests, say that environmental groups by and large tend to ignore those benefits. Mm. And that's, we've had studies that have shown, we're actually at our carbon emission levels right now from electricity generation are at their lowest level in 25 years. And, that's been due primarily to the fracking revolution. From what I understand, it hasn't so much been the rise in solar or wind power, but what's enabled us to sort of get away from those coal-fired plants and stop burning coal and stop putting all that carbon into the air has been fracking.
Mm. When I took a look at the story today, I was interested to note that he was speaking to banning fracking as far as United States wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been nice to, and I'm sorry to hear he couldn't join, to ask him about that if he meant, United States-wide, because this bill only would pertain to banning fracking in Florida. And given our reserves and given our production levels and then given on the flip side the risks to Florida and the things that are important to Floridians as far as our environment, quality of life, I think it falls on the side of these techniques being too risky for us here in Florida. It doesn't, dictate whether fracking, takes place in other parts of the United States and has an effect on what David Micah was saying about the economics of it. For Florida, it doesn't make much sense given our reserves.
And I also wanted to ask because, we tend to focus a lot on the incident with the Collier-Hogan well because as far as we know, it's the only recorded instance of fracking or a fracking-like technique occurring in the state of Florida. But I think from the position of a fracking ban opponent, they might say it's not really fair to bring up that one example because – let's face it. It was a little bit of a nightmare. They violated their permit to do it. They disposed of, contaminated wastewater in ways that are illegal under statutes that already exist.
Mm-hmm.
So is that fair to say that if we did have some sort of regulatory framework, if we did bring all the stakeholders to the table and decide to allow some sort of fracking in the state, that it wouldn't necessarily occur the way it did at the Collier-Hogan well?
Well, That is one well, and I think we've been saying, look at all the bad examples from this one well. It wasn't just one thing that happened there. It was multiple issues.
Right.
But if you do look, at the sort of statistics that we're seeing come from other states, I think it helps, show that this is inherently a risky activity given the amount of spills. 55 spills per each 1,000 fracked wells.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an insignificant number. So I think that it's sort of accumulation of information and that the Collier-Hogan well is just one additional aspect to that.
And, just aside from, potential contamination issues, does the Conservancy and do other environmental groups have concerns about fracking just in terms of the amount of natural resources involved in the process, the amount of water used?
Oh, yes, we do. That's perhaps our biggest issue with it. Certainly we're concerned about drinking water supplies being contaminated and surface waters, wetlands being contaminated. But if that's not compelling to you, the fact that this practice uses a high amount of potable fresh water should be. We've got a report that had recently come out from Thousand Friends of Florida, FDACS, and the University of Florida GeoPlan Center that looked at water use. And just from agriculture and urban development alone, by 2070, we'll be in an unsustainable situation for drinking water supplies. And it did not include the use of water from industrial uses like energy production, fracturing, mining, et cetera. So that would be additional use, on top of an already strained future. And each fractured well, can use millions of gallons of water. The Collier-Hogan well was permitted to use 280 million gallons. So it is perhaps the greatest concern about fracturing. And the EPA study and several other studies that have come out from USGS specifically talk about this concern of water use.
I wanted to also address specifically acid fracking, which for the purposes of, you know, stimulating a well to extract oil and gas, this particular bill we're talking about today would ban. But House Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez, when I spoke with him, had said, well, this is the same type of techniques that are used to maintain water wells already routinely. So his question being, if it's safe to do this for water wells, why is it not safe to do it for oil and gas wells?
Right. I'm glad that you asked this question because it's a bit of a misnomer that they're comparable, matrix acidizing and routine well cleaning. And Dana Young's bill specifically allows for continued routine well cleaning. The difference being that for matrix acidizing, the amount of chemicals that you are putting into the well, the volume of those chemicals and other fluids will allow the rock to dissolve away far from the wellbore. So in routine well cleaning, you're really just looking at the wellbore itself in a small area close by. For matrix acidizing, for example, in California, some of the reports we've seen would result in these wormholes and fissures dissolving away the rock up to 20 feet away from the wellbore or more. So it's a big difference between the two techniques, and I think the bill clearly allows for routine well cleaning to continue.
And we've got some folks actually watching us now. Oh. We're in California, so interesting that you brought that up. But I mean, just going back again to previous bills that have been filed in the past and haven't gone through, I guess, are you concerned that in the future, if this ban doesn't pass, that we'll see future efforts to legitimize or regulate the industry here in Florida? Because as it stands now, even if this ban doesn't pass, fracking is still not legal in Florida, correct?
Well, actually, the way that the current structure is that in order to do these well stimulation techniques, folks need to provide DEP a workover notice. It's not an additional permitting process. It's a workover notice. So they could be perhaps using some of these techniques today. We don't know. A lot of it's trade secret. A lot of it's not accessible through public record. We're hopeful, though, that these ban bills 442 and 451 in the House will be successful. I know it'll be a lot of work to see that happen, but if they don't pass this year, we're further along than we ever have been. So I'm hopeful that if it doesn't pass this year, that will put us in a good position for future years. But of course, my work and dedication is to try and see these come to fruition this legislative session.
Right, right. And, a number of co-sponsors here on both sides of the aisle, I understand. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe just give us a little bit of an update on where we are with the movement of both the Senate and House versions of this bill?
Sure. Yeah, so we're at, I believe last count, 36 sponsors. And so we're having more join every day, so I constantly have to check, which is great. And it's good that they're a good representation of both sides of the aisle. It really kind of split down the middle from Republicans and Democrats. So I think that goes to show that this is a really important issue for Floridians, regardless of your political preference. Everyone can see the benefit of doing something like this when it comes to protecting our water quality, our drinking water supply. So it's passed through one Senate committee. It still has two to go before it would be voted on at the floor. And it has not been heard by the House yet. So that may be the toughest aspect of this.
And, it's recently been reported that House Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez has voiced, interest in, collaborating on passing something related to fracking, but that what he would really need to see would be some sort of protection for property, private property owners. I think Senator Young has indicated she's not interested in compromising. Mm-hmm. It's kind of seems to be an all or nothing approach on this.
Yeah, and many of the senators who have signed on in support of her bill are feeling the same way. Also, some of the House side sponsors are feeling the same way. So, we'll have to see how it plays out. I would encourage folks to call your your representatives, especially on the House side, to let them know how you feel about this bill, because I think it will take all of us to communicate with our elected officials to see if this can come to fruition this year.
All right. And, just kind of a final question here, because I'm sure as we're all aware, Governor Rick Scott, ever since he first hit the campaign trail in 2010, his number one issue has been jobs, 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 private sector jobs. Do you know if this is something that the governor has spoken about? Because I imagine a ban might prevent a good deal of private sector jobs from moving into the state in the future.
I have not heard how he would feel about this ban bill. And of course, that would be the final hurdle if we do get a bill passed in the Senate and the House. But keep our fingers crossed.
That was John Davis hosting a special Facebook Live edition of Decision Florida on the proposed fracking ban. He's with us in the studio now, so give us a call if you have any additional questions about this proposed fracking ban at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We are at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. John, you were planning to have Florida Petroleum Council Executive Director David Mica on your Facebook Live show today, but he was pulled away literally minutes before the live show began. Mm-hmm. And you touched on it in your story that we heard at the top of the hour and that listeners can also hear on WGCUnews.org. But what arguments have they offered that oppose this ban?
Well, arguments against it really, and I think a lot of what we heard from Mica in my interviews previously with him pertain to what would happen if we banned fracking nationwide. Because, of course, the fracking revolution has been really significant in moving America towards energy independence and in reducing our dependence on other forms of electricity generation, such as coal-fired plants, largely due to fracking. And again, not so much due to things like wind or solar power. We have reduced our reliance on coal-fired plants for electricity generation to the point where now we've reduced carbon pollution by 25% from that sector. So he's kind of saying that, there are green aspects of fracking, despite a lot of what we heard from Amber Crooks from the Conservancy just there about potential contaminant issues, which are also significant, but just saying that a lot of those benefits are kind of overlooked by environmental advocates often. And also linking it was interesting because I thought both sides talk about potential detrimental impacts to tourism. And specifically, when I spoke with David Mica, one of the things he talked about was how in the years, just a few years ago, you remember when we were dealing with nearly $4 a gallon gasoline, Florida's economic tourism growth was declining. People don't have enough money to, if it costs $4 a gallon to put gas in your car, fewer people are taking trips to Disney World, basically.
And Florida's a long state to drive through.
That's true.
But he doesn't really specifically talk about Florida. He's mainly talking about national bans that he's concerned with.
It was more broader in scope generally when we spoke. Also just looking specifically at oil companies that, already have interests in Florida and may already be operating in here, and how, if you pass a ban, that's a lot of potential work that is simply not going to occur. That's, potential jobs that are just not going to be created.
So along with the Florida Petroleum Council, the bill for the fracking ban is also opposed by groups like the Florida Chamber and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, largely over economic concerns, like
right.
You said. Mm-hmm. What other impacts could the ban have on the economy outside of just energy? You said tourism. Are there any other impacts that it could have?
I didn't hear much about impacts beyond that from an economic perspective.
Okay. So one of the numbers cited in your story was dozens of municipalities across Florida that have passed local fracking bans.
More than 80, yeah.
More than, even in areas where fracking would probably not even happen, like Fort Myers Beach even.
Yeah, that was one of the questions that I had asked Amber, because I'm going, wow, there's between 80 and 90 counties or municipal governments in Florida that have passed some sort of resolution banning fracking. Like, why do they do that? Because basically the only areas where fracking would potentially occur would be in Southwest Florida. We have the Sunnyland Trend, and then there's other other region in Northern Florida. But the impacts could be farther reaching, and this is illustrated through what happened at the Collier Hogan well when the Danny Hughes Company, as we'd already discussed in that piece and in that conversation, violated their permits and did frack that well. 35 truckloads of contaminated wastewater, we're talking 200,000 gallons, were taken to a facility in Opa-locka, closer to Miami, for processing. But We're not sure where the communication breakdown occurred, but they didn't really know where that water came from or what potential contaminants could be in it. We're talking about carcinogens, metals, all kinds of things. And it wasn't properly treated, and an unknown quantity of that ended up in the ocean. So even if you live in an area where fracking isn't likely to occur, if you've got a wastewater facility where some of that fracking toxic water byproduct might be taken to, you could still feel the impacts.
So by having a fracking ban, and these other municipalities, even though there wouldn't be fracking happening there, it would effectively ban then the water being brought in from fracking somewhere else?
That I don't know about too much, but I think it just more shows how much support there is out there for a statewide ban on fracking.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. So you've seen this bill come up in previous legislative sessions, and this year, as your story points out, it's seen more support than ever. Do we have any idea if this bill is going to pass?
It does look good in the Senate. As we'd already mentioned last week, it passed its first committee vote unanimously, and it has picked up quite a few sponsors, co-sponsors, both Republican and Democrat, in that chamber. In the House, that's still a bit of a wild card here, and I say that because it hasn't gotten on the agenda of any committees yet in the House, so it's not moving there. And then again, as Amber had said at the end of that interview we just listened to, we haven't really heard anything from the governor on this.
Yeah, we've had no comment one way or the other.
Not that I'm aware of. That, again, as Amber had said, would be the final hurdle. And that's, of course, is assuming that a version does pass the House and Senate. And, Ray Rodriguez, House Majority Leader, has indicated he would be interested in compromising in some way as long as there were some sort of protections written into the bill for private property rights owners to access their mineral rights. But Senator Dana Young, of course, sponsor of the Senate bill, has pretty strongly said she's not interested in a compromise. It's going to be kind of all or nothing with this.
Wow. Well, that'll be a battle to definitely keep an eye on.
Yes.
We'll have to leave it there for now. Thank you, John Davis, for bringing your portion of this statewide collaboration of Decision Florida to guests and guests to our talk of managed care. So, I'm sorry. I want to thank you for coming in and clarifying some of those things for us today. Coming up, it may be the day of the shamrock, but we have some other flowers to talk about. It's all about orchids when we come back.